there. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. So, hey, I'm just going to jump right on it here. I'm kind of falling behind. I don't know if I'm going to get through all the stuff I want to talk about today. So the one thing, too, that I wanted to talk about is, you know, with Acreage folks. You know, of recent, I've had a couple of classes and had a couple of experiences, and I think that the one thing that I'm coming away with is the importance of wells and septic systems and how those are working in our communities. We're having more and more wells that are having some issues. They're drawing up more gravel and more things in it, taking the impellers out of the pumps. To have your well serviced, to make sure that it's in good working order, is a great thing. And then we had a class this week on septic systems. And one of the things that I see really, really frequently that I had absolutely no idea, but I see it pretty frequently, where there's a septic system and somebody also has an RV dump. And apparently the chemicals that are used in the RV dump are not chemicals that are well received in the septic tank. And what it can do is basically kill the action that is happening in, and there's another thing that was very, very clear about. There's no sense in pumping enzymes down there, any of that sort of thing. It's a natural occurrence that the solids will break down in the septic system. But, you know, if you're going to add a line to the septic tank, or you're going to let, you know, Uncle Bob move in with his motorhome and then connect directly to the septic tank, or you're going to use it as a dump station every time you go camping and put it in. Or the other one, which was interesting, was some of these houses that have short-term rentals or Airbnbs or whatever the case may be. There's a relationship between the number of bedrooms and the usage and the drain field and the size of the tank. So if you do a 3 or 4 bedroom house and it's sort of built for, you know, somewhere between 4 to 6 users to be living in that house, and each of those 4 to 6 users are going to, you know, use 50 gallons worth of water a day, let's say. Okay, well, that's a certain water use level. Well, then let's say you take that same 4-bedroom house and put bunk beds in all of the bedrooms and a sleeping hider bed out in the living room, and you start renting it out to 12 to 16 people that are staying in the house. And because it's popular and it's well located, there will be 16 people living in it this week, and then there's going to be another 12 living in it next week, and then 16 the week after that. You can see that very, very rapidly it puts an awful lot of stress on the existing septic system. So when you're out, there's nothing to be fearful of, but to maintain your wells and keep your wells up and to be mindful of your septic system is really, really important. And the other one, just the end-all here, stuff. Don't be a prisoner to your stuff. It's really, really easy for us to hide stuff, put stuff behind the barn, take an empty stall, take someplace and start stacking things. And the reality is we will deal with that stuff sooner or later. You know, whether it's, a car that needs to be remodeled. If you haven't remodeled a car and haven't done a car rebuild in the last 10 years and you're 65, 75 years of age, the likelihood of you doing the remodel on that 52 Chevrolet in the next 5-10 years is pretty darn slim. Same with old furnishing. You know, oh, I got to refinish that. I want to refinish that because it's going to be worth a lot of money when I refinish it. If you haven't been refinishing furniture, go ahead and sell it. Get it gone. And other things that you think have value, one comes right to mind is China hutch. You know, the China hutch in the corner used to be the mainstay of every house. You know, every grandmother had a China hutch in the corner. Boy, sometimes it was hand-carved. It was beautiful. It was big. It took up half the dining room. And she could put all of her plates on display that were gold leaf china and all that sort of thing. All of that stuff has no value. Nobody wants the China hutches anymore. They take up too much room. Nobody wants the dishes any longer that have the gold leaf on them, because you can't microwave them. You can't put them in the dishwasher. You can't do anything with them. Pianos, organs, all of that stuff takes up a lot of room. You're going to get rid of it one day. So go through your house, particularly now in the spring, and start to look at it. Get rid of some of that stuff, because what will happen is there will come a day where you will need to move that stuff or need to get that stuff out of there, or you're going to be moving and it needs to go. And what's going to happen then is it's going to be given away anyway. So, you know, this is a good time, particularly if you're on an acreage property, because it's really easy for us on the acreage property. We just stack some of that stuff over there and stack it over behind the barn where I can't see it from the house. And next thing you know, I got a big heap of old scrap metal and stuff that's out over there. Well, sooner or later, that stack of metal is going to have to be moved. And while you've got plenty of time, this is a great time to go around and take inventory and get that stuff out of your way. There we go. So much for my acreage properties. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for listening to me. So there were a couple of interesting articles this week in the newspaper that I thought were interesting to bring up. One, I kind of feel like I'm going to go both ways on it, but it's really, really great. There's a group called CORE. We've had them in and interviewed them actually when they first started back in 2014. And we had Amy Warren in to talk to us about the CORE Land Trust. And the CORE Land Trust really has a great mission. And their mission is to try to present affordable housing or workforce housing. And there's a sort of a blend somewhere in between. You know, we've talked about it on the show before, you know, that the difference between housing that's affordable and affordable housing. And affordable housing requires some sort of, you know, government support, ongoing support, and that, where housing that's affordable will hopefully be an opportunity for ownership. The CORE Land Trust is a little bit different in that there is an opportunity for ownership and some equity participation, but the land is not sold with the property. The land trust actually owns the land because that's the greatest expense of it. And then on top of that, they try to have requirements that you need to, you can only make up to 80% of the median income range to be able to qualify for the property and that. And you can only sell the property to somebody that meets that same qualification. So in other words, where some of the projects have been sort of a turn and burn deal where they Habitat for Humanity comes in, builds a house, as soon as they need it, there's a needy family that is in the house, they enjoy the benefits of the house, and then while they're living there, it accrues some equity. All of a sudden they realize they could sell the house and have more money than they've ever had before, and then it just transitions right into normal inventory of normal houses in the town, and it's no longer filling that need for affordable housing. And that's where CORE is really trying to do some really interesting work. And they're working out some difference. I won't go into all the details here, but they're working out some participation with employers where employers can contribute to the project to help stabilize some workforce housing for their employees. And it's pretty progressive. It's got some inherent limitations that are in it, you know, and the equity and equality components are all coming in and doing all that sort of stuff. But basically in premise to fill that need where there's an opportunity for someone to be able to stabilize their housing needs, be able to own it, be able to live in Bend at an affordable cost so that they continue to work in Bend and provide those services that we need in our community. A tip of the hat for CORE Land Trust. They're really doing a nice job, and they've been working on that for a number of years now. The other one here, I guess we're going to take a break here in a couple minutes, so I'll get this one. You know, it was nice. There was an editorial written this last week on Thursday by Alan Bruckner, and it had, you know, it's getting close to a time where I think that, you know, the citizens sort of need to have their voice heard a little bit, and I think Alan points out a pretty big issue. There's a big push to spend all of our transportation money or as much of our transportation money on bicycles and pedestrians and make it increasingly difficult for the automobile. And that's not just a problem in Bend, it's a problem that's happening everywhere. But to the point, there is a proposed bridge, bicycle pedestrian bridge, to be built between Franklin and Greenwood Street. That's a $20 million project. And so, you know, and the thing that's great about Alan Bruckner is he was not only, he was educated as an economist. He worked for 5 years in economic development. He was also on the city council for 4 years. I mean, this gentleman knows what he's talking about. he's not new. He's also a bike rider. He uses a bike and that. But what happens in these articles is they're sort of false promises or maybe highly embellished promises. And that's sort of what he calls out on this one, that the bridge will catalyze a redevelopment of the heart of the city of Bend. It's critical to creating a thriving Bend Central Core District. It will allow us to unlock Bend Central District potential. It's the most innovative critical projects we're pursuing to shape the future transportation of Bend. Well, none of these are factual statements. These are just highly romanticized deals about this group that it feels strongly about bicycle transportation, that they want to build a pet bridge that goes over the parkway and over the railroad tracks. Well, there's crossings, there's a number of crossings that go over there. And when you look back, remember not so many years ago, they did that $18 million project on Reed Market Road. Not 100% effective, but they were able to take Reed Market Road all the way from downtown, build a roundabout, build sidewalks and curbs, do all sorts of work with it all the way out to 27th Street. And that was an $18 million project. So this is a $20 million project. Imagine if that $20 million was relocated with bicycle and pedestrians in mind, but maybe not just a huge architectural bridge that is going over the area. Just to reallocate those funds. Not to say that it's not good to make it safe for commuters to be able to commute on their bicycles in their vehicles, but to build a huge bridge that really doesn't service that many people. And you could reallocate that money a lot different. And he did a wonderful job, and he said, you know, just let's be realistic. And then it closed with $20 million could go a long way building our bicycle system throughout our town. And, you know, hats off to Alan for writing that letter. And hopefully it was read, and hopefully, you know, they'll take some action on it. But there is nothing, there's no survey, there's nothing that justifies spending $20 million on a bicycle pedestrian bridge across town other than those folks that just feel passionate that that's something we should have. And it just seems that, once again, there's an awful lot of money being spent without much oversight and not really a great amount of need to justify it. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to talk about the feedback that I got this week, because I brushed over a couple of things when I was talking about savings and loans are offering a little bit of interest money now. I kind of want to touch base on that a little bit. And I also have some things here, too, about mortgage rates being pushed down and the real estate activity is actually picking up nationwide. We're starting to see some of that, which was anticipated, and we've talked about here for a few weeks on the show, but it's actually starting to happen now. You can always call in at the station here, 541-388-1110. And thank you for listening to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 100, 1110, KBND.